It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studios this morning. Dick Newman and Danny Lee, they're in Hutchinson for section individual wrestling today, and that'll start, maybe about 10:45 this morning. So we'll have section wrestling later on this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll have Dawson Boy Girls Basketball from Montevideo with Bart Hill and Ryan Lee this morning, or this afternoon. All right, let's turn our attention to Lac qui Parle Valley Boys Basketball with head coach Joel Voorhees. Good morning, Joel.
Morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, are you out at school? You got elementary basketball going on, or?
I'm out at the school here, but we don't have anybody for elementary basketball this morning.
Okay, but you're still working.
Still working, yeah.
Okay. All right,
just
Joel.
Just in case anybody shows up.
Right, there you go. All right, you had a couple games. The boys had a couple games this week, huh?
Yeah, we traveled up to Hancock on Monday, and we finished up our season at home, senior night and parent night, with McCray on Tuesday.
Okay. All right, tell us about the Hancock game, Joel.
The Hancock game, we ran into a tough Owl team over there. They're fast. Didn't matter what kind of defense we threw at them, they could shoot the lights out. So... three-pointers, they got us on three-pointers, and if we were man-to-man, it seemed like they were too quick to get by us.
Mm-hmm.
So at the half, it was 18-35 in Hancock's favor, and to finish the second half, we had 22-41, finishing with a score of 40-76. On the night, we were 13-36 from the field and 3-20 from the three-point, and 3-7 from free throw, with 34 rebounds, 8 assists, 8 steals, and 29 turnovers. The Owls were 22-40 from the field, 9-24 from 3-point, 5-10 from free throw, 39 rebounds, 13 assists, 18 steals, and 20 turnovers on the night. So they kind of led us in all those categories. It was a tough place to play in. It seems like the temperature controls were a little bit off that night. We got into the halftime, and Tanner Tilbury was just drenched, laid on the floor, and his imprint just stayed there.
Oh, wow. It was hot, you mean?
It was hot,
okay.
Yep. So a lot of guys were complaining about that. I was even sweating coaching.
All right. Yeah.
We talked through it.
Okay. Go ahead.
On the night, Tanner Tilbury had 11 points, 5 of 13 shooting. He also had 9 rebounds, led us in steals with 5, and tied with our assist total with 2. Grant Bierke was our next time man with 7 points, 3 of 10 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3-point, 2 assists, and Carter Moen and Aaron Bond both had 5 points on the night. Nolan Smith and Gavin Tasto had 3 on the night. And Max Young, Tucker Lines, and Caden Stender all had 2 points apiece.
Okay. JV that night?
The C squad won their game, and the B squad had a nail biter and ended up losing.
Okay.
So I was kind of surprised with that. Asked John at the end of their game what happened, and he said they kind of went on a big run, and they couldn't stop them.
Okay. All right. Then next game was a very close game, I hear, with McCray.
Yes. That was our most complete game of the season. Most complete game of the season. I was proud of the guys for how hard they played and stuck out when they got down, and they got themselves back in the game, because it was a 9-point game at halftime, 44-53, and we did win the second half with 30 points to their 22, And it was a nail biter in the end, finishing with a score of 74 Lacaparo to 75 McRae.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was kicking myself for that because with the timeout at 34 seconds, we knew that they could run the shot clock all the way out and win the game. And so we gambled and tried to go for steals first, and it just, the ball got away from us and didn't have a chance to foul in the end before they put up a shot. And so luckily we got the ball with about 2.9 seconds to still run up a full court last second shot that just didn't pan out.
Okay.
But I was kicking myself all night for not playing the foul game and making it a free throw game in the end, extending the time.
Okay. All right. Two evenly matched teams there, it sounds like. And you got any stats on the game there?
Yeah, and that was the game that it was all positive for us. We beat them in field goal percentage with 46.8 to their 42.4, finishing 20 out of 42 to their 18 out of 38. Three-point attempts, we were 9 out of 20 compared to their 7 out of 21. And what really killed us was the free throws. We were 7 of 9, but they were 18 of 26.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
The foul discrepancies were 24 to 11 that night.
Oh, well, that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yep, when we send them to the line that much.
Yep. But
rebounding, it was pretty evenly matched, our 31 to their 35. We did lead in assists, 21 to their 19. We led in steals, 10 to their 8. We led in blocks, 7 to their 1. And we tied in turnovers, 14 apiece.
Okay.
Some individual stats I have. Griffin Kranz, our freshman, finished with 22 points to lead us. Going 8 for 14 from the field, 2 for 4 on three-pointers, a huge three-pointer at the final minute to pull us in one. And Grant Bierke was our second leading highest scorer with 14, finishing 6 of 10 on the field and 2 of 4 on three-pointers with 4 assists. And then Tanner Tilbury had a nice double-double with 12 points and 12 rebounds. Also led us in assists with 6 and blocks with 3. Gavin Tasto and Caden Stender both had 9 apiece. Stender stepped up right away at the beginning of the game and had 3 big three-pointers to keep us in it.
Mm. Good.
And then Nolan Smith had 4 points. Also had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks, kind of filled up the stat columns. And Elias Alonzo and Tanner Callis both had 2 points.
Okay. All right, and JV that night against McRae?
C-Squad, that was a really nail-biter. Ended up, I think we lost by 4 in the end, but it was something where they were trailing at half. By 9, and they chipped it way back to even, and in the closing minute there, it just got away from them a little bit.
Okay.
So on the year, they finished with 14 and 6.
Oh, nice.
The B Squad had a nice win over the Wolverines. I couldn't tell you the final score.
Yep.
I forgot to ask John about that, but it was pretty handily. I think they won them by at least 20.
Okay.
So they finished the year with 16 wins and 9 losses.
Oh, nice. Good.
And
go ahead.
Well, that was our senior night, so I'd like to thank all of our seniors for their dedication and efforts throughout the season and throughout their playing careers at Lacaparo. Number 3, Caden Stender. Number 11, Nolan Smith. Number 14, Tanner Callis. And number 25, Elias Alonzo.
All right, some good seniors. They put a lot of time into the Lacaparo basketball program.
Yeah, and they're good leaders.
Yep. Good.
also to all the parents for all their support throughout the season with the young athletes that we have, caring for them, feeding, transporting. It's a long season, yeah. And couldn't do it without the parents.
That's right. Okay, well, section seedings, when do they come out, Joel?
I believe Monday.
Okay.
So we'll have the conference championship, but the seeding should come out on Monday, and so we should figure out if we're doing a play-in game on Thursday or we head right to Super Saturday on in Monty on Saturday.
Yep, I love Super Saturday in Montevideo.
Yeah, such a great atmosphere over there.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report this morning, Joel. And, we'll see where you end up in the section tournament. We'll be covering you guys in your first game there. So.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Paul.
You bet. That's head coach Joel Voorhees of the Lacapa Valley Boys basketball team. Up next, hey, we're going to talk with Carly Wager, head coach of the state champion Shadows, right after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports, and in the studio with us is Carly Wager. Carly's the head coach of the state champions, Lacapa Valley Dawson Boys Shadows. Welcome, Carly.
Thank you, Paul.
Isn't that sounding nice when I say state champions?
It is, yes. And we can't forget Aaliyah Schomer. She's the Jazz head coach. Yep. And I assist her with that. So.
Yep. Yep. Well, congratulations. What a weekend last weekend for you guys.
Thank you. Yes, it's always a fun one. And then it's even more fun when we can come home with a little hardware around our neck.
That's right. The big hardware, state champion in jazz. Yeah, you know, every time I see you at Target Center or any of the girls, everyone just seems so happy. Everybody's got smiles on their face. It's just a great atmosphere at Target Center, isn't it?
It is, yes. By that point, you know, there's nothing more you can do with your routine. The girls feel good about it. They've been doing it for 4 months, you know. So at that point, we just tell them, enjoy the experience. So.
That's right. All right. Well, tell our listeners, well, most of the people know how you did, but just a great send-off by both schools.
Yes. Yep. That's always fun. We start off our trip to state with the send-off, and each school had their boys do a dance as well, too. So it's always fun to see the boys remake our dance, and the girls worked hard on that with them, too. So
who did it better, Lacapa boys or Dawson Boyd boys?
Oh, I don't know if I can say. They both were great. Yeah. So they both added their own little flair.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a great send-off that they do.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kranz makes the big sign on Lacapa Valley.
Yeah, we look forward to that every year, too, and take a picture of that. And the girls get to go to the cities in style on a coach bus, so that's pretty fun.
Yeah, take us through the routine on that day. When you get to the cities, where do you go? Do you eat supper together and motel check-in?
Yes, yep. So we check into our hotel, and they usually get a little bit of time to practice their Radisson Olympic skits. And so for those that don't know what that is, they are grouped with their hotel room. So there's four of them. And then they create these skits, and they're just so funny. Each room gets to perform their skit to us coaches, and then we choose the winner, and then the winner gets to perform it to the rest of the team. And so it's just so funny to see all the different ideas they come up with. So yeah.
That is a rich tradition for the Shadows, the Radisson Olympics.
Yep. That started when Lisa was going, and the hotel itself was called Radisson. Yeah. It's called Royal Sonesta now, but it doesn't have the same ring. So
when you were a Shadow back in the day, did you do Radisson
we
Olympics?
We did not. No, nope, but I was a JV coach for one of the years that they did it.
They did,
so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who won the Radisson Olympics this year?
Yeah, so it was Molly Halverson's group.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They told me that, yeah.
Yes, so Molly Halverson, Chloe Kranz, who else was in that group? Aaliyah.
What did they do?
Bayless.
What was their skit?
They did, and Macy Zarbuck, she was the bus driver. And so
Macy,
it was Bryn Glegge. Yep. Right. So there was five of them in that one. And so they went, Macy was driving them to state, but they made a little detour down to Kansas.
Oh.
And so they made all these little different stops. They stopped at a K-pop Demon Hunters concert. So Macy was up there singing a K-pop song. They went to a cattle auction, and the girls were pretending to be cows. It was just so funny. And then eventually they made it to state, and then they woke up like that was all a dream, like they all had the same dream. And then they added some fun sound effects from our practice in there too, of just different things. And so a lot of just little inside jokes that makes it even funnier. So
right. Good.
Yeah,
it's
it was
a lot of
good.
Fun.
It is, yes.
It's good bonding time too.
It is, yes. Yeah. And then we always go to the Italian restaurant Buca. So get loaded up on carbs that night,
yeah.
Too. So yeah.
Good. So that's the routine on Thursday night.
Yes.
And then you got an early wake-up call on Friday,
yes.
Don't you?
Yeah, we left our hotel about 7:10 on Friday morning for jazz. We had our mark time pretty early. Then, yeah, the kick girls come later on that day and just are there to support the girls in jazz. And right. So, yeah.
So Friday was jazz. All right, tell us about it.
Yeah. Going into it, the girls were super excited. You could tell they were a little nervous after the prelims performance. We always like to say, you know, that's time to get your nerves out and just come back. Hopefully, if you make it to finals, come back with an even stronger performance. And that's exactly what they did. So we are beyond proud of the work that they put in all season, but just especially in the last 2 weeks. It's just like something was lit under them, and they were all of a sudden just nailing their turns at practice, and everything just was kind of falling into place. So,
good.
Yeah.
So how much did you change the routine from the first day of practice till the state?
Yeah, it changed quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, we added some more just visual stuff in there, but yeah, it all paid off.
It paid off. No,
yes.
Back-to-back state champions. What's it like when you're on the Target Center floor with in front of all those people in an NBA arena and you hear your name called as state champions? What's that like?
Yeah, it is just a very surreal feeling. We knew we were in first place going into prelims, but it was very close.
Yep.
We were only beating them by a couple points, I believe. And so we knew it was going to be close going into finals. So we really didn't know what was going to happen. And so once they called our name, you're so happy.
Yeah. What's the theme again in the music on jazz?
Yep. So jazz was the song 8 by Sleeping at Last. And it was just a very inspirational, empowering contemporary jazz routine. So.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
And who was on that team? Do you have the list there in front of you?
Yes.
Okay.
So our jazz champion.
And Aaliyah's the jazz coach then?
Yep. So she choreographed the jazz routine. And, she heads up the practice. And so my role is just to support her in that sense and just help her out at practice, too, if I see anything. So, yeah. Our jazz state champions are Aaliyah Bayless, Bryn Glegge, Chloe Gleggy, Harper Grunholz, Molly Halverson, Aubrey Holm, Chloe Kranz, Kara Mameli, Bella Martinson, Paisley Martinson, Shayla Meyer, Micaiah Poost, and Julissa Ramos.
Okay. Hardworking girls.
They are. Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Back-to-back state champions in jazz.
Yes.
So, gonna have a target on your back again next year.
Yeah, but it keeps, we talked about that
they
earlier.
Love the pressure.
Pressure's a privilege. Yep, they love that. So.
What I like is celebrating with the girls as they come down the escalator, and the parents and all the fans are there. It's unlike any other state tournament I cover. It's just awesome.
Yes, that's one of our favorite parts, too. It's just going down the escalator and seeing all of the fan support that came out, and they're just so happy for our team. So that was really awesome.
Do you have the final results there for Jazz then?
I do, okay. Yes. So we were first. Cathedral was second. And then we had holding for, so there's actually a tiebreaker used for
That's
that.
Right.
And so we were very nervous once they set a tie because it was not tied for prelims. It was close, right. But it was not tied. So that means the judges both scored us with 7 rank points. But we overall won with the total points. And so
a lot of people ask me, how do they break this tie?
Yes. Yeah.
So how did they do that?
So then they go by the total points. So we are scored on like skills, choreography, difficulty, execution, routine, effectiveness. And they score us on a scale from 1 to 10.
Okay.
So they tally up those total points. And then if one is higher than the other, then that's the tiebreaker. If those tie, then I believe they put the 2 lows and 1 high rank score back in,
okay.
I believe,
yep.
And then tally up the rank points that way. But don't quote me on that. That's very rare
that
happens.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Okay, well, congratulations on being state champions in jazz.
Yes,
that was
thank
a fun
you.
Friday.
Yes, it was.
So let's talk about Saturday then. Very competitive.
Yes. Yep. So same thing Saturday. We woke up bright and early, headed to the Target Center for our mark time. The girls had a very strong mark time, so we were feeling good about that. Our prelim...
For our listeners, I don't know, what's mark time?
Yes. So that means that the girls go out on the floor, they run their routine, you get 5 minutes.
They're not in uniform or anything?
Nope, not in uniform. Yeah. They usually do like waist kicks, so it's not like a full out kind of thing, but just to like get a feel of the floor and the atmosphere and try to get their nerves out as well too. So we really appreciate having that time to work on. And
how much time do they give you?
We only get 5 minutes, and there's a timer, and they tell you when that time
you
is
run
up
on the
you,
floor and you run off
you
the
run
floor.
On and you run off. Yep. So yeah.
Okay, so how'd it go with high kick then?
Yeah, our prelim performance, you could tell we were nervous again going out there too. We do have quite a bit of a young team. And so it was not our strongest. We knew we could do better if we made it to finals, and that's exactly what we did. We gave our best performance at finals, and that's all we
awesome.
Asked for the girls. So.
Good. All right, and the results.
Yes, and so Cathedral was first. They had been our biggest competitor all season. We had not beat them at the other competitions.
I think you were in, what, 3 or 4 competitions during the season with
yes,
them.
Yes, during the season we saw them 3 other times. We had initially beat them in points, but they beat us in overall rank points, and so that's kind of what counts. So we knew going into state it was going to be close, and it was close.
It was
so
close.
We're very proud of that.
Okay.
They won with a rank of 6, and then we were second runner-ups with a rank of 8, and then Holding Forward was 3rd with a rank of 16, and then YME was a rank of 20.5. Crosby was a rank of 22. And then Wabasha was a rank of 28. And Wabasha actually had a very similar theme as us.
I didn't notice that.
Yes. Yeah. Theirs was a dream theme as well. Theirs was more nightmare. Ours kind of had
darker.
That sweet dream at the beginning and then turned to nightmare. So,
Montevideo was in high kick, weren't they?
Yes. Yep. They made it to state, but they did not make it onto finals.
Okay.
So
tell us who's on that roster for high kick then.
Yes. And so our runner-ups for kick were Aaliyah Bayless, Piper Dove, Bryn Gleggy, Chloe Gleggy, Harper Grunholz, Molly Halverson, Aubrey Holm, Kinley Kep, Bria Kosbob, Chloe Kranz, Tenley Kranz, Kara Mameli, Bella Martinson, Paisley Martinson, Shayla Meyer, Faith Meyer, Alexis Olson, Cameron Olson, Micaiah Poost, Julissa Ramos, Ella Stock, Rolla Stone, Emma Stoltzberry, Sadie Zarbuck, and then our managers, Zoe Cruz and Macy Zarbuck.
All right. I interviewed Macy and Zoe in that state, and it was a great interview. They gave me a great interview.
Good.
I always like to know, what do managers do?
Yes.
They do a lot.
They do. Yeah, we appreciate them.
All right. Well, congratulations on a state runner-up. You're going to have to build more trophy cases.
Yes.
For you guys.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it was a great season. We want to thank our leaders and our leadership team for that as well, too. That consisted of Chloe Gleggy, Harper Grunholds, Molly Halverson, Bria Kasbab, Paisley Martinson, Shayla Meyer, Alexis Olson, Micaiah Poost, and Ella Stock. And they just kept the girls focused, kept practices fun, but we were able to work hard and kept the big goal in mind. And so we were really appreciative of our leadership team as well, too.
Good. I want to thank Dee Dee Schomer for helping me broadcast again. You know, she pointed out you have a... How many sets of sisters do you have on the Shadows?
There's quite a few between varsity and JV. I feel like I counted about 8.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, big family event, so that's fun.
Speaking of big family, you know what my highlight was? Watching you guys perform on the Target Center and looking at the end of the Target Center up there, and here's the whole Wager thing. About 50 Wager people up there. You have your own special space. That was awesome.
Yes, it was the Dolly crew and the Wager crew up there. And so we had tried to get into a suite, and they were all booked up. And this lady's like, well, I do this thing for concerts. We can try it out. And cool. They had people asking them if there were famous people staying there. So it was fun. They really enjoyed it. And I loved being able to walk off and look up and see them rooting for us.
They were cheering for you.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, it's pretty neat when there's so many little kids. It's a good place to have little kids,
too.
So you have a little space to run.
Yeah, that was perfect for them. Right. So.
All right. Anything else, Carly?
Not that I can think of. Yeah.
Fun one year again.
One season ends and the other already starts to begin.
That's right. You already started on the next year, I bet.
We're thinking of things for that. So, yes.
Let's talk about your seniors.
Yes.
That danced their last.
Yes, they did. So we have Molly Halverson, Bria Kasbab, Alexis Olson, Micaiah Poost, Ella Stock, and then our managers, Zoe Cruz and Macy Zarbuck.
Those girls put a lot of time in.
They did, yes. We are going to miss them dearly next year.
Right. And the Shadow parents, too.
Yes, yeah.
And grandparents.
Exactly, yes.
What a crowd you had at Target Center.
Though. Yeah, we really appreciate all the fan support, near and far. We felt the love, you know, back home in our communities as well, too. So that's pretty neat.
And the banquet's tomorrow, Sunday?
Yes, yeah. We'll have our banquet tomorrow. So check our social media pages for that.
Okay. Carly, thanks for coming in again.
Thank you so much,
and
Paul.
Let's do this next year, too.
Perfect. Okay. Sounds great. Thank you.
There you go. State champion, head coach Carly Wager from the Shadows. And we'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
If you're looking for a seed partner that makes choice their number one priority, it's time to make a change for the better with AP Select. With a true passion for farming and a desire to help growers prosper beyond their expectations, AP Select brings excitement, pride, and innovative thinking to the seed industry. You have a choice. Make it count. Visit APselect.com. AP Select. Better by choice.
For all your agri-partner product needs, contact Ryan Smith Seeds at 320-226-1079. That's 320-226-1079, Ryan Smith Seeds. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk Lacapaire Valley Girls Basketball with Head Coach Dylan Erickson. Good morning, Dylan.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, temperatures were in the 50s for 2 weeks, and here we're back normal winter weather this past week.
Yeah, we're back to a little more normalcy. You know, it's when you get the weather like that, that changes, man. You take it for granted, and you think it's winter's over and you're moving on,
but right.
then it hits you right away again, and you run right back into it.
Yep. All right. Well, we have a couple games to talk about. Let's back up with last Monday. I think you played Benson, didn't you?
Yeah. Yep. We had Benson come to Lacapaire on the Monday. That was supposed to be played maybe our second game of the year, and with a conflict they had, it got pushed all the way to the end. But again, before playoffs, not bad to not have the whole week open and be able to play on that, even though I don't love Monday games. But be able to play that week, you know, still stay in some kind of rhythm before you're going to get into that playoff game on Thursday.
I think a lot of coaches say they don't like Monday games. Why is that?
Yeah, I just, you know, kids come off the weekend and you haven't really had much time to prepare. Like in our situation, we played on Thursday and Friday, and then you play right away Monday again. You just don't have time to prepare and kind of walk through some finer details or mention some things. And you never know how the weekend went or, you know, what homework was forgotten on for Monday or tests were all of a sudden there on Monday or whatever it might be. So you just don't know exactly what you're going to get. So it's just the uncertainty probably more than anything. And, you know, just nice to have a time to prepare a little bit before you play a team that you think you can compete with.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Stats on the game or talk a little bit about it?
Yeah. So they have two really good guards, the Helgeset and the Nygaard, the freshman, and Helgeset, the junior. Kind of a team, though, that they've had, you know, since they were in the West Central. Now they've moved conferences now to Class A fully. But a group they've kind of had together here the last few years and taken their lumps as well. And they're kind of starting to see the fruits of their labor, too, come into fruition here the last year now with, I think they're up to 13 or 14 wins this year. And they were in a team, you know, kind of in a situation like we were a few years ago, kind of rebuilding and young and things like that. But, yeah, we got outscored pretty good in that first half. They made 8 threes in the first half, which was kind of the difference in the game.
Wow.
If you look at it entirety, yeah, they came out and they hit a lot of shots. We got covered pretty well, too. I mean, we left some open ones, too. But still, just to shoot the ball that well in the first half, kind of dug ourselves a little bit of a hole. And then they came out in the second half. We outscored them by 3, but again, they just kind of played right with us back and forth. We were much more competitive in that second half, and we were able to hold Helgeset down a little bit and Nygaard down a little bit. They each had, Helgeset had 27 and Nygaard had 19 for the game. So with two guards that kind of spearhead your offense, and they're knocking shots down the way they are, and the Sanders and Hill on the outside knocking down a couple threes too, just really changed that game from the start. They had 8 for the first half and they had 11 threes for the first for the game. And you know, if you look at it, the stats, we made 13 twos and they made 13 twos. We made 4 more free throws than them and shot 20 more free throws than they did. And what it comes down to, we made 4 three-pointers and they made 11. That three-point shot just can change a game so fast. And, again, we obviously didn't shoot the ball well from the free throw line at all. You know, we missed 19 free throws and we shot 20 more than them, but yet we still lose by 17. So, again, the three-point shot and our free throw shooting at times was kind of our Achilles heel that night. And so, yeah, we ended up dropping that one to Benson, 67-50. But leading us for the night in scoring was Callie Kahn. She had a double-double. She had 21 points and 20 rebounds. And Aston Shelstead was 4 for 5 from the three-point line, making all our threes. She had 14 points. And Brinley Bruce, another freshman who's been coming on, had 11 points for us. And Aiden Bond had, Brooklyn Olsen had 4 points kind of to round out our scoring for the night.
Okay. All right. Well, that ended your regular season. And then the section play started on Thursday night in Granite Falls.
Yeah, just like that, we're here. And, you know, talking to the girls, had a really nice pregame shoot around and talk before the game. And just letting, you know, a lot of girls that haven't been in a situation with a playoff game other than really Cali. And it's just a whole different feeling, Paul. It is. It doesn't matter if we've been the 1 seed and we've been the 10 seed now, and it doesn't matter which it is. You're playing on Thursday, you're playing on Super Saturday. It has a different feel to it. The crowd does, the atmosphere, and there's a little bit more on the line. And when you got, you're running in, you know, all the 8 girls that played on Thursday night, you know, one girl has some playoff experience. So again, I think that first 5 minutes to 8 minutes maybe was a shock and kind of just the different feel of the game and, knowing what was on the line. And, you know, everyone else is amped up a little bit more too. The crowd's into it. So there's just a lot more energy in the gym and kind of handle all those emotions. It was, you know, I think it hit some of our young guards and young kids a little bit early. But we started to find our rhythm a little bit towards the end of that first half when we cut in that lead. They got up by 20 in that first half and we cut it to 15 or 16 a couple times, but just never could get over that edge. But, going into halftime, made a few adjustments, went back to man-to-man and went to try to face guard a couple girls and do a little bit better job doubling to the post and some adjustments we were going to make, you know, in the full court press stuff to verse it and put one on them maybe too. We just had to find a right time where we could start getting rhythm and scoring to be able to put a press on, because, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense to start pressing them and wear our legs out if we weren't going to be able to score on the other end. But we found that rhythm a little bit, and boy, did we make a heck of a run at it. They didn't give up. They didn't quit, you know, being down 20-plus several times in that second half. And finally we broke in and got it to about 15, and then we were able to get it to about 12. And we hit some shots, so that's the biggest thing in the second half. We made 5 threes in the second half, didn't make one in the first half, and that kind of changed the game for us quite a bit.
It did. I think you cut it to 7, and you had the possession. Bart and I were pretty excited.
Yeah, I thought if we could get it to, that's the talk in the locker room too, but definitely I thought if we could get it to a 3, but especially 2-possession ball game, we would have a real chance in it. And we got real close. You know, like I said, we got to 7 with the ball, and we had it down to 8 or 9 again with shooting free throws. And, again, just didn't execute from the free throw line well enough. But, again, just really proud of our effort. You know, we decided to put that press on maybe at the 12-minute mark or so, roughly. We started finding some rhythm there, and we turned them over a few times, and we were able to capitalize out of it and knock down some shots and get some easier buckets and reward ourselves and finish in the inside. And I thought we had a real chance, but, again, they did just enough. Making free throws in that second half for them was huge. They didn't make a whole lot of twos or threes. They made a 3 and some free throws in the second half, and we really limited them, especially late in that game, to give ourselves chances. Just came a few plays short, and we just dug ourselves a little bit too big of a hole in that first half to kind of come out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, Bart and I were commenting during the broadcast. You know, Callie Kahn had a nice game again. Brooklyn Olsen had a nice game. Actually, all the girls said, and some your girls off the bench. Eva Traeger played outstanding. Casey Tweet, your bench gave you some quality minutes there, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. And that's a talk we had after the game too, is how everyone chipped in. You know, it didn't matter how much you played or what kind of scoring you did or didn't do or how you affected the game. Everybody did in a different manner. And you look at the scoring from the night, this is probably the first time we've had quite this balance of a scoring night out of everybody, which is what it takes. And other girls stepped up and played their role perfectly. You know, like a Reese Kuzman got in there only a handful of times, but she affected their game when she was in there. Eva gave us some physicality inside there and did some really good job on the backside rebounding and athletic, and Casey had a really nice end to that first half for us too, that kind of prolonged us into that spark in the second half too. So again, just a great effort out of everybody and finding different ways to impact the game.
Okay, stats on the game?
Yeah, stats on the night. Callie, our senior, lone senior that played, led us in scoring with 17 points and 18 rebounds. Brooklyn Olsen had 9 points on the night and 5 rebounds. Casey Tweet had that bucket before half there. Ashton Shelstead had 2 big threes in that second half and had 8 points to go along with it. Eva Traeger had 5 key points, a bucket in the first half, second half, and then a free throw too. So she definitely got herself more involved. But again, on the defensive end is where she changed it for us. Brindley Brewson had 8 points as well. She had 2 big threes in that second half for us. And then Aiden Bond had 5 points for us. It had a big 3 in that, a big key with like 7 minutes to go. She hit a 3. I remember calling a timeout right then, giving a little bit of a break there and kind of regroup. But she hit a big 3 and she had 5 points in the night. But again, maybe her scoring wasn't there and hasn't been there the last back half of the year. But we put a lot of pressure on her having to handle a basketball. And you know, and sometimes it doesn't look always as pretty, but she's the one that's taking it on and not scared to do it and helping these other guards along. Kind of get comfortable, and that was a big growth year for us with our guards, and especially Aiden. I know she was frustrated at times, probably handling the basketball and having 2 girls run at her and having to spearhead against the press and different things, but she's only going to make her better, and going into the next couple of years, you're going to really see that come to fruition.
And, you know, give credit to YME. They have 3 players that have on their team that have scored over 1,000 points in their career already. And it was their freshman last night, Plasowski, that came through for him with 15 points. Good young ball player there.
Yeah, she kind of, you know, looking at films and playing them and stuff like that, you kind of came out of nowhere a little bit.
Kind of
shocked me. She had, 10 points and made 5 twos in that first half, and a lot of them were tough shots. Ball. I mean, she had a couple, but a couple were a lot of tough runners from about 6-8 feet out.
And they were line drive shots. I was teasing her after the game. What kind of shots are there, like, no arch on it?
Yeah,
and they go in.
off, all of them kind of came off the glass hard too and went in, but you know, you got to have that in the playoffs. You never know. And but all the credit to them. I know it's like telling Sherb, you know, we had to keep them probably under 60, even 55 roughly to have a really, really good chance in that game to win just with where we've been at scoring. But again, we put up, what did we put up for the game? 58 points or whatever it was.
58-56. Yep.
56 points, and that's a big night for us.
Yep.
And, you know, we did outscore them by 6 in that second half. It's just we just dug ourselves a little bit too big of a hole in that first half. But, yeah, all credit to them. They had her step up, and, you know, Sneller had 17. She had 3 threes in that first half that really opened the game up and kind of killed us to start. But then we kind of she didn't really have another field goal after the game. She just made free throws in the second half. She made 8 free throws in that second half, and they shot a ton of free throws. So credit to them, and you know, Mortensen had 13. Thought we did a nice job holding her down late in the second half. She got some buckets on us when Callie got in foul trouble, and then Almick had 15. That's kind of their three-headed monster there, but or had 12. But when you add 15 from the freshman, that that goes a long ways. So you got to give them a ton of credit too.
Okay, well, you had 2 seniors on their squad. We'll talk about them when we wrap up the season next Saturday. But Callie Kahn finished her outstanding career, and you had Raya Borsted on the team, too.
Yeah. Callie, just, I think I said it last night in the post game too, is, you know, she didn't quit. She set the tone from start to finish. She was working her tail off the entire night. And, you know, I think the girls in that second half really followed it. You know, what we talked about at halftime, they really meant something, and they wanted to go out and finish this thing strong for Callie, if nothing else. And so I was just really proud of the effort. But she didn't have to be vocal and say a whole lot in timeouts or halftime or anything. You know, she let her play, show what she was about, and the girls followed, and that's why the game was the way it was, and we had to give ourselves a chance in that one. And then, you know, Raya has been a great teammate all year, and got some good experience for her efforts on the JV level all year, and again, never complained and worked hard. And I know it wasn't easy at times. Just learning the game of basketball is not easy, especially trying to do it all in one year at that level. And I'm just proud of her for what she gave us all year too.
Okay, well, we're going to take some time next Saturday and wrap up that season and talk about each girl. I know the wins and losses weren't what you wanted, but your team had a lot of fight in them. They never quit, and they gave 100% every game, didn't they? And you're young. You're a very young team, Dylan.
Yeah, we are. You know, of what played, everybody came back or comes back, and everyone but 2 girls are going to have multiple years left to try to develop this thing, and that's exactly what I thought we did this year. Is we, you know, like you said, not the wins, but the growth was there to my eye and to the team. And in the future, I told them it's really, really bright if they want to be. It's just going to depend on how much work they want to put in and how committed they want to be and where they want to take this thing, because the potential is there. And there's a lot of young girls coming up, too. So it's totally going to be up to them. But, yeah, the future can be bright if that's what they decide they want to do.
Okay. Dylan, thanks for your time this morning. And we will wrap up the season next week, okay?
Awesome. Appreciate the coverage all year and the fan support. Go Eagles.
All right. Dylan Erickson, head coach of the Lock Ball Valley girls basketball team. Take a break. Come back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
Hello, this is Daryl Rainier from the Rainier Auction Company, reminding everybody about our upcoming March Machinery Auction. That's live and online. Now, to have your items listed on our sale bill, contact us before February the 23rd. Call us here at 223-5917. Also, remind everybody about the Orville Grubrud Estate Auction. It's a nice, clean line of farm machinery. We'll be selling tools and other personal property, but this is online only. And this will be taking place on March 5th, and the items are located at the Rainier Auction Company for viewing. Now, for more information, go to our website right here at RainierAuction.com. Thanks, and have a good day.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. We're going to turn our attention now to wrestling. And here, a couple weeks ago, was the section semifinals or quarterfinals. And Team United had a great match with New London Spicers, which brought them to last Saturday into the semifinals. So let's talk about both of those matches.
Yeah, a week ago from Thursday, we were in Dawson. We hosted the quarterfinals section match there, and New London Spicer came, and we knew it was going to be a close one coming in. It was a close one the first time around. Yeah, the boys wrestled well. We started off with Colin Rosendahl. He won 10-5 decision. Then Griffin Johnson won by a pinfall. Then at 121, Eli Olson ended up injury defaulting out of there, ran out of injury time. So that was unfortunate. And the same thing happened to Braden Jaden. He landed on his head a little bit. He ended up injury defaulting as well, so it was a little rough stretch for us. But then Gavin Mortensen came, got us back going with a fall in 45 seconds. Holland Shocker got a pin for us in 1:03. Ben Gunlickson won by a major decision, 10-1. Then Lincoln Sancher had a nice battle, ended up losing 9-3, but saved some team points for us. Then Cameron Sather won a 4-2 decision. Bentley Boffin with a big win, winning 3-1, 172. Josh Kranz ended up getting pinned in his match. Then Brian Rohde lost a 3-1 decision, but that was the one that clinched it for us. They needed a pin or a tech fall, and Brian, I think he definitely could have won that match, but wrestled smart and put the match away for us. Then Gabe Bauer ended up bumping up to heavyweight, and he got pinned late in the first period, and making the final score, New London Spicer 30, Team United 31. So that was a big win. Good to get that win, close one in advance to the final four.
Yeah, that was so well. The rest of the team after those two injury defaults, that's 12 points for New London. I know you expected at least one win on at that weight class, and possibly two, and possibly, you know, that you mentioned they saved some team points in that, and the rest of them really sucked it up and did a great job.
Yep, that's for sure. It was a great team win.
It was.
For sure.
Yep. So then, last Saturday.
Yeah, that got us to Saturday, and we were pretty banged up with those injury defaults and some other guys being sick and stuff, and a lot of nagging injuries, so we definitely didn't have our full team out there, but the boys that went out there, they fought hard and gave it their all.
That's right.
We started off, Griffin Johnson was in a tight match, and then it ended up getting, he was down by one, I think, and then he ended up getting pinned, and then Colin Rosendahl bumped up to 114, he ended up getting pinned. Caden Endleton went out there and he got pinned. Trent Boffin lost by a tech fall at 27. Ivor Heinrich lost by a pinfall. And Holland Shocker lost by a tech. Ben Gunlickson got a pin in 29 seconds. Then Lincoln Sancher, when he ended up getting pinned early on. Adrian Specht got pinned. Bentley Boffin had a nice re-attack to get in deep on his opponent. But then the guy kind of caught Bentley's head and ended up pinning him. Brian Rohde won by a pinfall in the third period. Gabe Lowry lost by a pinfall, and we forfeited at heavyweight, making the final score Team United 12 and New Ulm 64. So we were a little undermanned going into that one, but it was nice to see the kids fight, and you saw a lot of ninth graders go out there and kind of step up and get a little taste of the varsity experience in the semifinals of the section.
Yeah.
Then New Ulm ended up winning, beating Marshall in the next round, and they got the 2 seed in the state tournament. So they're in a great spot to make the state finals.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And it's always fun to get to that Saturday when it's a win and go to the finals or go home. But a lot of teams in the section would have loved to be in your shoes on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what we told the guys. Like, don't take for granted getting this far. You know, we have high aspirations and high goals, but don't take advantage or take it for granted of getting that far. And I don't think they did. They definitely fought hard.
They did, and nice experience for the younger kids, the team of the future, as you mentioned, with all those kids wrestling. So good experience for them. So, it brings us up to section individuals. We did not broadcast last night, but when we go on the air on Saturday, today, we can update you on who wrestled and how they did from United, and then go through the rest of the brackets. It's tough with a 11-team section. There'll be a lot of pigtail matches and matches that'll go to the final or to the quarterfinals, which starts today, along with some wrestlebacks, and we'll be doing some live and then bringing up some results from the section as there's basketball going on as well today. But you can talk about who you entered into the tournament.
Yep, we have Griffin Johnson at 107. He should be seeded. All of our wrestlers, we're all 11 teams. I think every single one of our wrestlers we got in there is seeded. So that's good to see that everyone's got a chance to not punch their ticket to state, at least place in the section tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, Griffin's at 107. Then at 114, we have Eli Olson. He'll be the one seed. 121, Caden Eppleson. At 127, Gavin Mortensen. At 133, Braden Jaden. 139, Holland Shocker. 145, Ben Gummickson. 160, Cam Sather. 172, Bentley Boffin. 189, Brian Rohde. And 215, Gabe Lowry. We could have anywhere from 2 to 6 kids make it to state. It's nice to see that we have a lot of these kids that have an opportunity to punch their ticket if they can just put a good tournament together, wrestle one match at a time, survive and advance each round, and just wrestle hard, and we should get a bunch of kids to the state tournament.
Well, that would be great. And as you mentioned, when you went through your lineup, 13 weight classes, and you did not fill 152 nor heavyweight, and heavyweight's been optional all year long. So those kids that you mentioned are, like you said, have a chance to go to state. So. Yeah. So
yep, sure.
The new format at the state tournament too. I know we'll have a have you on for the coaches week coaches show next week, but you'll be already down in the Twin Cities for the state tournament, which starts on Wednesday for the teams and individuals on Thursday. So you can give us updates on that first and second round of state tournaments, too, so that'll be good for the teams United. Anything else there, Hank?
Nope. Should be looking forward to a fun day of wrestling. And then on Sunday there's youth wrestling in Dawson. There's 4 mats down, so there's going to be 8 teams there, I believe. And a great opportunity to watch some of the future United wrestlers perform.
Okay, well, that'll be great. So we'll talk again next week, okay?
Sounds good, thank you.
Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this. Good job, Hank.
All right, thank you. We'll see you on Saturday.
That's right, yep, bye.
When it comes to solid foundations, there's only one name you need to know, Wolfschlager Concrete. Whether it's a new driveway, a sleek patio, or a robust commercial foundation, Wolfschlager Concrete has you covered. With over 20 years of experience and a commitment to quality, our team delivers durable, reliable, and beautifully finished concrete every time. Commercial, agriculture, and residential. They do work in Minnesota and South Dakota. Call Jordan at 320-269-1182 or check out their Facebook page. That's Wolfschlager Concrete.
Paul Ramel back here in the studios. Dick Newman, Danny Lee will be on the air between 10:30 and 11 o'clock this morning with section individual wrestling from Hutchinson. And good luck to the Team United wrestlers. And we'll have Dawson Boy girls basketball from Montevideo at 4 o'clock this afternoon with Bart Hill. All right. Thanks for listening to the Coaches Show, and tune in next Saturday at 9 o'clock. Have a great day.